What's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 12 of Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Ryan Davis, and hope you like the way we're kind of switching it up. We're going with a little bit more music to open the podcast, and I'll say this. Anyone who knows who performs that song and can tell me the name of the song, tweet it at me at Locked On Cubs on Twitter, or you can email me if you don't use Twitter at lockedoncubs@gmail.com, and I don't know, you might just get some bonus points. I don't have specifically a anything that I could give you, I guess, but you know, I'm curious if anybody knows that song. So just changing it up a little bit, trying to add a little bit more flavor to the podcast. Probably a short one today, just a couple things that I want to go over. The Cubs signed catcher Chris Jimenez last night. It's interesting that this could possibly be a precursor to a Yu Darvish signing. Now, what does that mean specifically? Well, Jimenez caught Darvish 12 times in the 2014 season, right before he Darvish had the Tommy John surgery and missed the rest of the year in all of 2015. Yu started 22 games that season, and 12 of them were caught by Jimenez. I think that's pretty interesting. This is a guy that he likes to pitch to. He threw 79 of his 144 and a third innings to Jimenez that season, had a 3.29 ERA with the catcher, which is, that's not really the most significant stat. But what is significant is that he likes to throw to him and that he threw over half of his games to that catcher that year. So what's important to look at with this is, how would we have looked at the Cubs signing David Ross in 2014, if, maybe a week before John Lester signed? We would have thought, wow, that's a big clue that maybe they're really going in on John Lester, and that there's a real possibility this is happening. So it's all speculation at this point. I don't think it necessarily means that the Cubs are definitely signing Yu Darvish, but the rumor was out there yesterday that the Milwaukee Brewers gave him a contract offer, and today there was a rumor that there's at least one team has a five-year deal on the table for him. So anything the Cubs can do at this point to set themselves apart and make the destination, I guess, more attractive to Yu Darvish, that's another point in their column. Chris Jimenez, if you don't know who this guy is, you're probably not alone. He's, just a backup catcher. He doesn't hit very well. He does walk a little bit. He had a 14% walk rate last year, and for his career, I think it's about 11%. Doesn't have a lot of power. Hit his career high with home runs last year with 7. The other kind of cool thing is now we know who Joe Maddon will be able to go to on the mound in blowouts, because Jimenez made 6 appearances on the mound for the Minnesota Twins last season, throwing 5 innings. And in general, he's made 9 appearances on the mound in his career. So that's kind of fun. At least we won't see John Jay out there throwing 55-mile-an-hour fastballs in 2018. Jimenez can do that, and he'll catch when Wilson Contreras isn't back there. And who knows, maybe he'll be Yu Darvish's personal catcher with the Cubs next year. So that's what you need to know about Chris Jimenez. Nothing special, just in general. He's not going to bring a ton of value to the team, but he's the kind of guy that you need as your backup catcher. He does all the things that you want out of a backup catcher, or possibly a personal catcher for a top of the rotation kind of guy. Is your company looking to target the sports fan demographic? Then you should be sponsoring Locked On Cubs. Our rates are reasonable, so email me at lockedoncubs@gmail.com to find out more information. All right, second thing I wanted to touch on briefly is the story was out there that Jason Hayward said that he thinks he can be the 2018 Cubs MVP this year. And there's been a variety of reaction to that. And, it's not surprising that it's been met with some skepticism just because of the poor offensive seasons he's had in his 2 first years with the Cubs. But put yourself in a hypothetical mindset on this. Imagine that Hayward does become the player that he was before. Not a guy who hits a ton of home runs, but maybe he bats 270 to 280 with a 350 on base and around a 400 slugging with 12 home runs. And then he continues to play his top flight defense in right field and runs the bases well, like we know he does. That could be the Cubs MVP in 2018. Now, there's been some commentary from a few people that I've seen, a few fans, where they said, you know, they'd love for Jason Hayward to be the Cubs 2018 MVP and kind of surprise everybody with a great year. But for him to do that, they also thought that might mean some down years from guys like Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo, Addison Russell, Wilson Contreras, on and on and on. But I don't think that's necessarily true. Get back in that hypothetical frame of mind. Hayward becomes the guy he was before. He's still playing the great defense. He's getting on base around 350, and he's running the bases intelligently. Well, that 350 on base percentage, that could be your leadoff hitter, which solves a major problem for the Cubs. Now, I don't imagine that Joe Maddon will immediately rush him up there. I know Maddon really wants to make this Kyle Schwarber leadoff thing work, and we'll see how that works out. But if Hayward gets back to the player that he was in 2015, 2014, before that, that's a guy who, you know, could fit the leadoff spot for this team. Jason Hayward at a 350 on base, right in front of Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and Wilson Contreras, it would be a lineup that would score some serious runs. Now, add on to that fact that Hayward from 2012 to 2015 had 21.1 F-WAR. That averages out to 5.3 WAR per season. That's when he had a 781 OPS. So this is a guy who legitimately, with a better offensive season than he had those seasons, could be a 7 or 8 WAR player. You know, he's had 6 wins above replacement in 2 seasons over that period, including I think it's 6.1 in 2015 when he was with the Cardinals, just the year before he signed with the Cubs. So it's all hypothetical. I don't think Jason Hayward is going to be the unofficial Cubs 2018 MVP. But it's not as absurd as you might think if he can fix some of those offensive problems. He doesn't have to come out and hit 35 home runs and get on base at a 400 clip. He just has to be who he was before and continue playing that great defense. And I think Jason Hayward can be, you know, a surprising contributor to the Cubs. I think he is as much of an offensive X factor as the Cubs have going into next season, just because of the lack of leadoff guy, the lack of somebody in front of Bryant and Rizzo that gets on base, the lack of hitting from the corner outfielders that the Cubs got last year. It makes Hayward a very important player for 2018. I just thought that was an interesting topic. I'm going to be writing about that for tomorrow and kind of give you a preview of it. But for tomorrow, I guess Tuesday, by the time you're hearing this, it'll be today, you'll see something from me pop up at FanRag Sports on this very topic, and I'll expand on it just a little bit. But that's what I have to say on it. I don't think it's as absurd as it sounds. All right, last thing that I have for you guys. Got a question from a fan whose name is Rob Benson. And Rob says, of the current 25-man roster, how many on this team will be in spring training 2020? Is it even 5? Who are they? Who would you be most surprised still being there or gone? Well, and maybe Rob thought he was predicting further away when he said 2020, but there's only 2 seasons between now and 2020, and most of the roster is still under contract between now and then. They have $14 million player option on Anthony Rizzo. All things considered, you would have to assume that's going to be exercised. They have about $10 million in an option on Jose Quintana. He'll be back. They have a final year of the contract on Tyler Chatwood. John Lester's under contract. Kyle Hendricks will still be in arbitration. Basically, all the position players are still around. So really, I guess I would say maybe 5 from this roster will be gone. You wouldn't expect that, you know, barring trades, that really this roster would change very much. Now, for players that would surprise me to still be around in 3 years, I think there are 3 that kind of go with no explanation. Tommy La Stella, Eddie Butler, Victor Caratini. Those guys will be under contract in 2020 with the Cubs, and I would not expect to see them in spring training that year. I think, that just makes sense. There's no explanation needed on that. The fourth player that I have listed is Kyle Schwarber. Now, if you've been following me for a while, you know that I do like Kyle Schwarber quite a bit as a player. I think he's going to be a very good hitter in the league. But, and this is something I feel, and I know that there are people with the Cubs who feel the same way. He's a designated hitter or first baseman at best who's playing left field. He's had an ACL surgery on his knee, and that was directly related to playing the outfield and the collision with Dexter Fowler in Arizona. So this is a guy that, barring some sort of miracle out in the outfield, he's never going to be much better as an outfielder than he is today. And we'll see. He lost some weight in the off season. We'll see if maybe that helps his mobility and he becomes, a significantly better outfielder. But I don't necessarily see that happening. I think the Cubs know that long term he's not the best fit when you compare with other guys on the roster, and that they're kind of hoping that he has a resurgence and has a good year, builds up that trade value again, and then they could move him off the roster in exchange for maybe some pitching or what have you, whatever the Cubs' needs are in a year or two. But I'm not saying necessarily that Schwarber's going to be traded at the deadline this year or even next offseason, but I do think long term this is a guy that the Cubs would be wise not to be signing any long term extensions with. So that's my prediction. I would think by 2020, Schwarber might have been dealt, and we'll see. Like I said, there's all kinds of unpredictable stuff that can happen in baseball, so it's possible that Schwarber does become a better outfielder, and that losing a little bit of the weight makes him more agile. And he hasn't been a left fielder all that long, so maybe he does figure it out. It's possible, but I don't think it's all that likely. Other than that, most of this team is going to be intact for the next several years. The majority of the roster, really, at least the core young players, are still under contract for 3 or 4 more seasons. So this team, as it is right now, has an extended window of contention. It's why it's very important that they get, that pitcher, whether it's Yu Darvish or Jake Arrieta or Alex Cobb or whoever it be, that they get that guy and put him in that number 4 slot in the rotation to build a team that can win this year or next year. Because I think this team is a division winner, but that's no longer a sure thing. It's probably still a 90 to 95 win team at this point, but the Cardinals have gotten better. If the Brewers kind of surprise everybody and sign Yu Darvish, they'll be a lot better. And the Cubs really, I talked about it in the previous podcast with Jared Willis. It's not stagnant, but they haven't really improved their team. Even though they would still probably be the favorites to win the division, it's a question. It's a question that most of us haven't asked for 2 seasons, who would win the division. You saw what it looked like when the Dodgers had 114 wins and got to rest down the stretch versus the Cubs, who had to be in a dogfight with the Brewers and Cardinals into September. The Cubs were gassed in the NLCS, whereas the Dodgers were, just eating them alive with their pitching. So I think the Cubs need to go out and find that pitcher and fill those remaining small gaps on this roster to clearly establish themselves as the best team in the NL Central or even the best team in the National League. Get closer to that 100 win mark again. Put some distance with your between yourself and the rest of your division and go into the playoffs healthy and rested. And that's all I really have for you guys. I told you it was going to be a short podcast, but I really did want to get in some of that information on Chris Jimenez and Yu Darvish and how that could be good for the Cubs. I would hope that Darvish will be signing soon. We're getting, we're under a month before spring training when pitchers and catchers report. It's usually there's one, maybe two bigger free agents that sign once spring training has already started, but it's never to the point where the bulk of the free agent crop is still out there. And right now the top four pitchers, Darvish, Arrieta, Alex Cobb, Lance Lynn, they're all out there. JD Martinez is still out there. There's a whole lot of really good players that I haven't signed yet, and I think that's going to be coming in the next couple weeks. Keep your eyes out, Cub fans. Keep refreshing Twitter. We're at that point of the off season where hopefully the movement starts happening. If you have any questions that you want to send for me to read and answer on the podcast, you can tweet them at me at LockedOnCubs. You can also follow me personally at Ryan Q Davis on Twitter. We have an email address at lockedoncubs@gmail.com, so you can send that stuff there. I really do appreciate the fact that you guys have been leaving that stuff. I also appreciate that we've re been receiving more iTunes reviews, which are they're fantastic. I read a couple of the reviews previously. We've got another one from Bourbon Aficionado that says, "Ryan Davis of the Sporting News and formerly of Baseball Prospectus, WrigleyCast is back, now with Locked on Cubs. A very good pod with both an analytical and insider feel. A must subscribe for any Cubs fan." Thank you very much for the 5-star review, Bourbon Aficionado. I tip a bourbon in your direction. Then we have RF Haymaker, "A must for Cubs fans that can't get enough quality Cubs-related discussion. Ryan has been doing a great job of putting out interesting content, oftentimes flying solo in an active but non-flashy Cubs off-season. His experience as a podcaster and Cubs writer have served him well, and I expect that this podcast will continue to get even better as it evolves. Strongly encourage anyone who listens to Cub Podcast to subscribe." Thank you very much, RF Haymaker. And hopefully that this specific podcast, which was short and kind of off the cuff, won't discourage anybody who's listening for the first time. I kind of threw this together last minute to just get that Jimenez news out there and answer another question from the fans. So I appreciate you guys listening. If you, again, have any idea what that music is from, go ahead and tweet it at me and I'll give you a shout out on Twitter for it. And hopefully we get some better Yu Darvish news for me to podcast about in the upcoming days. Maybe after I get back from Florida, because I'll be gone the rest of this week. Hopefully next week. Let's say next Monday, we get a Yu Darvish signing. Cross your fingers.